All right, there it goes.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the COVID Response Project for the great state of Maryland. Here we have Tom Warner to talk about how things have been going in Maryland. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
So let's start out with masks. When did masks start up, and how has mask compliance been in Maryland?
So I actually, I guess I should preface this with saying I moved here in June. That said, from what I've heard from everyone, it was, you know, around early to mid-April, I think, when they started becoming mandated, at least, you know, in the sort of local level and by businesses and by stuff like that. There wasn't many people wearing them before that. And then compliance has been very dependent on the region of the state. Where I'm at, which is the suburbs of Washington, D.C., I'd say compliance has been reasonably high indoors, at least with the letter of the law, if not necessarily the spirit. You know, you see a lot, you know, like obviously not actually functional paper masks and people who take them down to talk and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, generally speaking, at least for most of the time, masks have been in the vicinity of faces, at least inside where I'm at.
Okay. And outdoor masking?
Much less so, especially around where I am. As you get down sort of closer to DC or like into more crowded shopping centers, stuff like that, there's been more of that, to the point where like I was actually in DC for a job about a month ago, and pretty much everyone was still wearing masks outside. But not as much here. I run a lot, right? So I've been running on a trail nearby this whole time. And I would say that probably at peak, which I would say was around, you know, midwinter-ish, you'd see maybe 50% of people on that trail would be wearing masks. And by now that number's dropped to, you know, maybe 5% at most.
Okay. So it's interesting. So that sounds like maybe people are actually trying to keep an eye on what the numbers are doing in the state and then maybe adjusting their behavior accordingly. Because
I mean, that's definitely a part of it. I wouldn't say that it's been, you know, that exact for anyone. I think, you know, lately, I think there has been, you know, we've got messages as far as CDC guidance, right? And, you know, just like various media messages saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, you don't actually need masks outside that much anymore. And I think the other thing, too, is that it's just gotten warm outside and much less comfortable.
Okay.
And, you know, otherwise, I think people getting vaccinated has been a huge problem, or a huge... not a problem, a huge contributor to that as well. You know, people get vaccinated and then they're like, oh, you know, I'm not really sure that I need to do this anymore. And they see other people not doing it. It's sort of, you know, especially lately, it's sort of tipped.
Right. Sort of reinforcing. Mm-hmm. Okay. How have schools been? I understand that I feel like I barely need to ask when schools shut down, because for everybody, the answer seems to be mid-March, and then the real question is when they started up again.
So that is, again, here it's been sort of regional, you know, based on the county, right?
Okay.
For all counties have set their own policies. There hasn't been much in the way of orders coming down from the state. In my county, public schools reopened by around mid-April. They did this complicated sort of like 3 or 4 tiered opening thing where they like brought the younger students back first. But my understanding is that everyone was back, supposed to be back in school by the 19th of April.
Okay.
Private schools have been very dependent, you know, on who is the demographics of the parents, I will say, especially. I know there was sort of a flap in the county here, because there were certain private schools that did want to reopen in person in the fall. Mm-hmm. And the county health officer said, no, you can't do that. And then he actually got overruled by the state governor, who said, actually, yes, you have to, you know, let these schools decide for themselves. So there was much grumbling, but in the end, they did at least allow private schools to open if they wanted to.
Mm, okay. But then the actual opening was based was dependent based on sort of who was running the school.
Yeah, I would basically say that. Yeah, I mean, you know, depending. I don't honestly have a huge amount of insight into that around here. Most of my friends that do have kids, they're before school age. And, you know, like my parents' generation and all, obviously the kids are grown. So I don't have a huge amount of context into there. I do have a few friends who are like school teachers. Mm-hmm. And, so, you know, they're mostly the ones that I actually have real intel from on that.
Got it.
Them are in public schools, but
have you heard any stories of quarantines, of classes, or schools shutting down for a week or two based on cases within the classroom?
I can't say specifically that I have. I do have a friend who's a contact tracer in the next county over, and I know he ended up doing a bunch of like, you know, work through the schools, but basically it seemed like the whole bureaucracy just, you know, once they did get around to reopening, they just weren't really interested in there being any tracing done there whatsoever. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'd be curious to talk to him about that. But
yeah, he honestly might be I can reach out to him and see what he's up to, you know.
The story of contact tracing has been one of the more interesting stories. Just because of how it's been implemented and how Americans, as a wide stereotype, are about people poking into their business.
Yes, absolutely. So that's been a big thing for him. So it's actually, I can tell you just from having asked him about it, because I was curious and because he's just the type to talk about his job a lot. So he's in the next county over, which is Prince George's County, which is very much this sort of like lower income, you know, like much more historically like Black and Hispanic and other minority county. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's like absolutely like a very blue county, right? But at the same time, just very low levels of trust in any kind of public health or public authority. So, you know, it sounds like there's just been lots of cases where he's, you know, reach out to people and they have just not been very interested in telling him, you know, who they've been around lately or providing the history of their movements or anything like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a great little bit of information. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move forward to restaurants. But what were limitations? When did they start? What are they now? How is the, and often there's a bit of a like journey that restaurants have to go through from close to open.
Yes.
How has that been?
Okay. Well, I've got a few data points on that.
Okay.
It's again, all of this is very dependent on the region, right? Mm-hmm. So like you know, everything I'm saying here should be interpreted as particularly coming from one specific suburban county. I don't think there has been a huge amount of like state level top-down orders as far as restaurants, but I do remember that at one point they had, I think they said midnight was like the hard closing time, right? No one
would
have a restaurant open by after midnight across the whole state.
Okay.
But so around here where I'm at, right, most places were reopened by around last June, at least for outdoor dining and for, you know, obviously like pickup and delivery stuff was pretty much in uninterrupted.
Mm-hmm.
My brother actually works for one. He's a bartender there. And before obviously that sort of rolled back up, he was doing a lot of like, you know, delivery driving and bagging up orders for delivery and running them out to people's cars for pickup, that sort of stuff. But yeah, so it's been, the restrictions have been sort of on and off as things have gone. They sort of eased up over the summer and then they cracked down harder over the fall and winter to the point where there was no indoor dining in this county between about mid-December and then they reopened on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
There was still outdoor the whole time, but obviously, you know, that was right in the middle of winter, so.
That's a tough time to do outdoor dining.
Sorry?
That's a tough time to do outdoor dining.
Yes, it was. Yeah, me and my friends have been going down to a local bar that has sort of a you know, craft beer shop, and they have beer on tap. And, you know, they had, it was, they had a couple of outdoor propane heaters that people had donated to try and help them get through the winter. You know, they had a, like an outdoor seating area, which was really just a sidewalk that they put some tables and chairs down on, and made it through, but it was rough.
Okay. And, but so they started opening back up in mid-February. How is it now? When this interview, by the way, is happening in late May.
Yeah. Things are much more open by now. You know, back in, I think in mid-February, actually very specifically, it was Valentine's Day. It was the first day that they were open for in-person. And so that was at my brother's restaurant. I know there was a huge mess because they were still restricted to 25% capacity, right? All these people hadn't been able to go to a restaurant since like mid-December, and now they all wanted to go for Valentine's Day. It just sounded like a huge shit show.
Wow. But
since then, I'm not sure. I think they've upped the capacity limits. I think it's up at like 50 or 75 by now.
Okay.
And my understanding is that within the next week or two, pretty much all of that's going away.
Okay. So how have religious services fared? Are they back in full force? What's been the timeline on that?
That's been also very dependent. I don't know that there's a huge amount of like guidance from above on that, again, as usual. But it's been very dependent on the congregation, I suppose you could say. The one my parents go to has been, it's a Catholic church. They have outdoor masses. And so they were doing stuff out in the parking lot, stuff like that a lot. They had sort of limited indoor stuff. You know, there was the one I went to over Christmas. I think, I don't know what the capacity restrictions were, honestly, because there's no way we were even close to them. There was, you know, probably a good like 3 dozen people in this huge church, but they did have a Christmas mass. Everyone was required to mask up, and I don't believe there was any singing.
Okay. I'm curious specifically for Catholics, communion given at the mass?
I'm sorry?
Was communion given at the mass?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they had, it was some kind of wonky thing. It was like you had to receive it and then like take it back to your pew and then eat or something like that. So you wouldn't like have your mask off in front of the priest or something like that. But
okay.
They were giving it out. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So moving from services, religious services, how have movie theaters and or live performances, are they in effect? How has their return been?
I'm not exactly the person to ask about movie theaters because I never went to them before.
Okay.
I know the local ones were closed for a long time. I was looking them up when I did the interview thing and it looked like they just reopened. And then as far as live music goes, I can tell you because I love live music, there's been practically none of that, which has been very disappointing. Yeah, it's absolutely the worst. So over the summer and the fall, right, I was trying to just get out anywhere, and the only place that they had was a county over was doing like a drive-in shows, right? And so they would have, you know, it'd be an outdoor concert already, and then they'd be like, all right, you know, you can drive your car, and they'd give you like a specific, I guess, lot to park on. I didn't go to any of them. I ended up not, but a couple of my friends did. But they'd give you like a specific lot to park on, right? They'd give you you know, like this sort of area of ground that you and your friends could have, and you had to stay there. And then I think if you went to like the bathrooms or anything like that, or you went to buy food or whatever, you had to wear a mask otherwise. So quite stringent on that. There's been, you know, as far as like live bands, I have seen there have been places, you know, sort of locally, like small places that have hired, you know, like live bands on maybe like a crowded Saturday night in the fall when it was nice, stuff like that. I've seen a few things like that. I saw, this was actually down in Virginia, but I saw a friend of a friend in a band that was at a distillery. They just had like some outdoor seating, so they set the band up on a stage and they played to that. But you know, as far as like actual organized concerts, very, very little. And those are just starting to come back now.
Okay. The last item is something that you made a note of, and I want to make sure that we capture it, which is that there is seems to be a lot of regional variance where you are. Can you speak to that? Tell us, what does that mean? How much, does it seem to be dependent on something?
The thing it's dependent on as much as anything else is population density, to be honest.
Okay.
You know, I mean, like, you could probably draw a correlation from that to, like, you know, like redness versus blueness of the congressional district or whatever, but
sure.
You know, in my experience, absolutely population density, right? Like, you can go from where I am about 10 miles closer to DC and, you know, get down to like some of these really more crowded urban areas, and people would have been walking around with masks on pretty much this whole time, you know, since obviously about last April or whatever, whenever it shifted. And then you could go out, you know, like up county, right, to where it gets more rural, and you find a lot of places, for example, where like there are gas stations that'll have signs that say masks required, but absolutely nobody will bother to enforce them. You know, like obviously there's sort of ending requirements right now, but this is, you know, during the heat of things. You know, I was actually, I was talking to a lady who's doing, she works for the parks department around here, but she was talking about how her grandsons are playing soccer, and apparently in this county, which again is like very, you know, very dense, right, very sort of bougie liberal types, they're strictly required to wear masks on the field at all times, but a lot of the times these other counties, their teams will come in and they won't take that nearly as seriously. And she was very upset that the coaches weren't yelling at the kids on these other teams because they would be playing soccer, you know, while being children outside without masks on. It was this huge scandal, but yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I've heard some similar stories from people who are in kids sports, where you'd go to a meet and team A would be masked and team B would be unmasked, and it's basically based on regionality.
Yeah, that seems to be a huge thing. And the lady was also complaining because apparently it would give the team that was unmasked an advantage, you know, and be able to breathe easier.
Sorry, I should not laugh at that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. Is there anything else you'd like to mention that we haven't covered?
I guess the only other thing that's vaguely relevant is I actually do have a roommate who works in fire EMS. So he was running calls this whole time, right?
Oh man.
As far as you know, like transporting COVID patients and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, as far as like the actual impact went on hospitalization and all that, right? Things were really bad in about early to mid-March. They were, you know, very slammed. They had a huge load of cases. You know, so a good amount of it was obviously like people, you know, old folks and especially people in nursing homes and whatever, but a lot of it actually was not, especially then. You know, they absolutely did get lots of calls to people who are like in their 30s or 40s or 50s or whatever and really struggling.
Oh, and wow. So
that spooked him a bit, but then, you know, things subsided over the summer into the fall. And then by around, you know, like obviously you can look at like caseloads and all that sort of stuff to see this too, but like around, you know, mid-November through about mid-January, especially, things got really, really rough again. They basically, like, you know, this whole thing about like the collapse of the hospital system, that never really happened. But there were quite a few weeks, it sounds like, where it was very much, you know, like they'd be calling every time they picked up a patient, they'd have to go through some special protocol to figure out like which hospital would have the one available emergency room bed to receive them, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That is, I may have to seek out some more healthcare workers for this project.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom, for your time. Thank you for doing the research for us. And good luck to you as things get back to normal.
Yeah, I'm just excited. Well, I got an email from some concert venues already. They're saying, oh yeah, we're allowed to open as of March 11th. So here's who we've got scheduled, or June 11th. So here's who we've got scheduled for June 11th come out. So I'm pretty excited.
I haven't been to a live concert performance in years. I'm going to like 8 of them. As soon as they're open back up, I'm going to everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
It's gonna be great.
Well, thanks for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.